they draw us ever closer to the one true living word, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I see that most of the church decorations were taken down yesterday, but I'm very pleased to see that the crib is still here, or today's sermon would be quite difficult to act out. Have you taken down your decorations yet? It's said that if the decorations aren't taken down on Twelfth Night, then they have to be left up until Candlemas, which is the beginning of February. For those who think it's unlucky to leave your decorations up beyond Twelfth Night, you have a problem. And if you really believe in the superstition I heard of, that the gods of the greenery really do escape out of the decorations and take residence in your house after Twelfth Night, well, maybe perhaps you should see Alan afterwards.
Yes, maybe so.
Anyway, today we're celebrating the Feast of the Epiphany, the time when Jesus was shown not only to the Jewish people of Jerusalem, but to the whole world. These wise men who have now come to worship Jesus, we're not actually told how many there were, came from Gentile regions far away to meet the newborn king. They then went home to spread far and wide the good news of his coming and to begin the work of God's salvation. It's a passage that provides lots of reassurance about our faith. It's full of the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies, as in our reading from Isaiah. And the actual gifts brought by the wise men point to the fact that God's plan was all worked out beforehand. So let's have a closer look at these gifts. Now, I've hidden them around the front here. I hope they're still there and nobody thought I was planting a bomb or something. And I was wondering if there were any volunteers, any children who like opening presents. I need three of you. Otherwise, I'm going to have to ask some of the adults. Please do come, three of you. That would be lovely. I want you to search for these gifts. Well, however many, it doesn't matter. Everybody come. I need six altogether, but three later, so you'll all be welcome. Now then, come up here. Now, somewhere at the front here, there are three packages. See who can find a package. It's somewhere here, that side, little, some are little and some are big. Just look in the corner of that crib there. Have you found one? Good. Bring it up here. Just hang on to it for a minute. You can open it in a minute. Just want to get everybody here. Oh, you found one. Good. And I think you'll find one under the flowers there if anybody would like to find that one. I'm going to get that, Olivia. There it is. Lovely. Bring it up here. Right. Now. No, these are the three that I want you to find. I hope there's nothing else lying around that you open. Could you just open your parcels now, please? And then just put the paper down here under the lectern. Can you manage to open it? Go on then. Doesn't matter if you rip the paper. Now then, what could it be? And when we find them, we'll just think about what each one means before we place them in the stable next to the wise men. Okay, so when you've opened it, right, that's right, pop the paper under there. Good. Lovely. Could I have the gold box? Thank you. That's that one. You hang on to the other two. Now, one of my own Christmas gifts arrived in this box. But as it's a gold colour, it'll do to represent the gold which they brought to Jesus. Gold is the most valuable of all substances. It's worth a lot and is used for the most important people and occasions. A crown, for example, is likely to be made of gold, and it's appropriate that we should use the word gold to describe perfection, as in, she was as good as gold, which I'm sure you all were over Christmas. So gold tells us that Jesus is a perfect king. Now, who's going to place this in the stable with the kings? Would you like to take that? Here we are. Put it with the kings. Now, who's found the long, thin object that keeps falling apart? Right, let's have that one. Now then, you might wonder what this is, and it took me some time to find it. This is actually a modern burner for incense sticks borrowed from my daughter. You put the sticks in here, you light them, and smoke comes out through the holes here. Frankincense is used in worship and tells us that Jesus is holy, that he is God. It's also a symbol of being priestly, someone who leads us to God. So would you like to put that one in the stable, Olivia? Hold the bottom part so it doesn't fall off. That's it. Thank you. Now, finally, who's got the small wooden box? Thank you. There it is. Can I have it just for a minute? Here we are. This would contain an anointing oil used on dead bodies called myrrh. It speaks of Jesus being set aside for a special task, to give up his life for us on the cross. So if you'd like to place that in the stable with the three men, the wise men. Now, I will need three more later, but if you'd just like to sit down for a minute, and I'll call you back again, three of you in a minute. All right? If you've got to go back to your place. Thank you. So here we have symbols of kingship, holiness, and death, all important aspects of Jesus' mission on earth. But the gifts were also very valuable, the best the wise men could afford. And why did they want to give the best gifts they could? Because they realized that God had given them the best gift he could in Jesus. And that's a gift God has given to us too. Jesus is God's gift to each of us, the best gift God could possibly give us, himself. Now, I wonder which of the three gifts, gold, frankincense, or myrrh, was the most important gift the wise men gave Jesus. Actually, I don't think it was any of these. I think the most important gift they gave Jesus was themselves, their time, their talents, and perseverance in following the star, and their worship when they saw Jesus. We heard that they knelt down and paid him homage. This, too, is a gift the wise men gave to Jesus. So the best gift God could give to us is himself in Jesus. The best gift we could give to God is ourselves. But how do we do that? Normally, when we give someone a present, we wrap it up. But I really haven't enough paper here to wrap up any volunteers. So that won't work. So how do we give ourselves to God? Let's try and put ourselves in the place of the wise men, but by looking at the gifts again, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and try to find some modern equivalents. And I've got three more parcels here that need unwrapping. So I only need three of you to unwrap these gifts. So the first three that get here, all right? And you can have a dip in the bag and unwrap a gift. Now, they're rather unusual. You won't quite know why I've chosen these until I tell you. Any more? Here we are. Right, that's fine. You take a gift out of there. Right. And you can unwrap those. Thank you. Unwrap them and put the paper under there. Come on, rip it off. Fast as you can. Now, that's the one I want first. What do you think it is? Have a look inside. Do you recognize it? I'm thinking I'm probably rather old-fashioned. It's a checkbook. He doesn't recognize it. Right. It's a checkbook. This reminds us that God gives us all we have, and that we can only give back to him what he's already given to us. We offer him our money because it sums us up, our work, our homes, our priorities. If we value our relationship with God, it'll be no hardship to offer him our money and the things we treasure. Now, who's got the diary? Ah, you've got a diary. That's lovely. Now, you might wonder what this has got to do with frankincense. And I did wonder myself when I first thought of this, but I've worked it out. This is where we think of frankincense. It's to remind us that God wants all of our lives to be holy and set aside for him. Every day, not just on Sundays. He doesn't necessarily want our homes or churches to be filled with incense, but he certainly does want them to be full of his love and truth. We become more holy as we allow God to enter our lives day by day, reading the Bible and communicating with him in prayer. So that's a checkbook and a diary, and now I need this. Now, have you opened it to see what it is? Just see if you can open it. It's started at this end. Look, it's this end. Open it up and tell me what you see. What do you see? It's a mirror. So you can see yourself, can't you? Yeah? So this is a mirror. Myrrh speaks of Jesus being set aside for a special task, to die for us on the cross. The point is that we must die to sin, as Paul puts it, by confessing what we've done wrong and being open to receive God's forgiveness through the death of Jesus. Then we offer our whole lives to him, to God, for him to direct and use. And this mirror is to help us take a good long look at ourselves and think about which bits of our old life we might want to die to or change, or maybe what we want to give Jesus today. Or think about how far we're prepared to go for Jesus. So we've looked at money, time, repentance, and giving up some little bit of our old life. So thank you, children. If you'd like to go back now, thank you for your help. Okay? Bye. Finally, I think my favorite verse in our gospel reading today is verse 12. I'll read it to you. Then they returned to their country by another road, since God had warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod. They ought to go back a different way. They've seen salvation and they've seen eternal life. They're not to go back by the way of death. They're to go back a different way. Everyone who meets Jesus must go a different way, live a different kind of life. We must be changed by the meeting and become different people. That's as true today as it was for the wise men. It's God's generosity to us in giving himself to us completely in the person of Jesus that makes us want to give ourselves to him. Just as their encounter with Jesus brought the wise men to their knees in worship. So let our main New Year resolution be this. Put God first, put Jesus at the center, and everything else will follow. Amen.